This is Brother Gino Cassieri, and welcome each and every one of you to the Pastor's Study. Today on the Pastor's Study, we're going to continue our series of studies on Psalm 119. Today, we'll be looking at verses 81 to 88. So let's turn to Psalm 119, verses 81 to 88. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? For I am become like a bottle in the smoke. Yet do I not forget thy statutes. How many are the days of thy servant? When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? The proud have digged pits for me, which are not after thy law. All thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully, help thou me. They had almost consumed me upon earth, but I forsook not thy precepts. Quicken me after thy loving kindness, so shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. Today's study in Psalm 119 is entitled, Hung Out to Dry. As we have pointed out, all but five verses of the 176 verses in Psalm 119 make a direct reference to the Word of God. Verse 84 of this stanza is one of the five verses that does not directly mention the Word of God. Let's look at verse 84. How many are the days of thy servant? When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? This is the 11th stanza of the 119th Psalm, marking the halfway point. It could be called the midnight stanza of Psalm 119. It describes the darkest hour of the psalmist's life. The psalmist is depressed or discouraged. He felt like God had hung him out to dry. Verse 83 says, for I have become like a bottle in the smoke, yet do I not forget thy statutes. We all have midnight hours in the Christian life, do we not? The psalmist already mentioned a midnight hour back in verse 62. And in Acts chapter 16, verse 25, the apostle Paul experienced a midnight hour in his ministry after he and Silas were thrown into a Philippian jail, amen, for casting out a spirit of divination from a damsel, amen. They didn't get discouraged. They weren't down in the dumps. Notice how they handled it midnight hour. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. As we begin our study today in Psalm 119, Hung Out to Dry, this study will be broken down into three main points. The first one is, he had a troubled soul, in verses 81 to 83. The second main point we'll look at, he was in a trying situation, verses 84 to 87. And then the third and last point we'll look at, he was a trusting saint, in verse 88. Let's look at the first point. He had a troubled soul. We read, he says, my soul fainteth, my eyes fail, I am like a bottle in the smoke. This shows the error of the idea that a believer must always be bubbling over and never have discouraging days. Paul speaks of being troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. We see, first of all, the psalmist, he had a troubled soul. We want to see that, first of all, his soul fainting in verse 81. He said, "My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word." He wasn't saying he was not saved. He is longing for the promised Messiah to come, who would be the salvation of Israel and the world. He was hoping that he would come in his lifetime. Like Simeon, who waited many years in the temple for the constellation of Israel, God promised Simeon that he would not see death until his eyes had seen the Lord's Christ, in Luke chapter 2, verses 25 and 26. When Mary and Joseph brought the baby, Jesus, to the temple to be dedicated unto the Lord, the Holy Ghost revealed to Simeon that this child was the Messiah he was waiting for. The Bible says, "And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all the people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel." Again, Simeon said, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." So, first of all, in point number one in our study, the psalmist, he had a troubled soul. We saw, first of all, his soul fainting. Second of all, his sight, we want to look at his sight, was failing. In verse 82, he says, "Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me?" In other words, he's saying, I have looked and looked and looked and looked until I am looked out. He is saying, my eyes have failed, looking for your promise to come about. My friend, keep on looking. Looking for that blessed hope, amen. Keep on looking, for our redemption drieth near. Jesus could come today, amen. And as Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, wherefore comfort one another with these words. And then we see that in our point number one, the psalmist, he had a troubled soul. The third thing we want to look at is his soul was like a smoking flask. Look at in verse 83. "For I have become like a bottle in the smoke, yet do I not forget thy statutes." Now, these were not glass bottles. According to Barbara Bowen's book, Strange Scriptures That Perplex the Western Mind, these were bottles made out of skins of goats. Before a goat skin could be used to hold water, it had to be dried and cured. They would be hung from the ceiling of the tent for storage. If they remained there for any length of time, they became shriveled and blackened by smoke from the fire. We read in Matthew chapter 9, verse 17, it says, "Neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break, and the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish." Now, the bottles represented, the smoky flasks represented forgotten objects, empty, shriveled, dry, dirty, ugly, worthless, forgotten. In other words, the psalmist felt like God had hung him out to dry. Haven't you felt like that sometimes? The psalmist, he came to the end of self, realized how weak and worthless he was. Although he appeared to be forgotten, he is not forgetful. He keeps focused on the Word of God. Now, the second main point in our study today is we see that the psalmist, he was in a trying situation. You see, constant oppression, amen, from the wicked is bound to lead to a degree of depression in the saint. Is it not, amen? We read in verse 84, amen, how many are the days of thy servant? When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? In other words, he was saying to the Lord, he was crying out to God, and he was saying, how much longer can I go on like this? Amen. How much longer can I go on like this? And then he said there, the proud have digged pits for me, which are not after thy law. Verse 85, all thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me. They had almost consumed me upon the earth, but I forsook not thy precepts. Amen. He mentions, we see the word pit. They have dug pits. Amen. And we compare this with verse 110. We read, it says in verse 110 of Psalm 119, the wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. And then in verse 85, the proud have digged pits, amen, for me, which are not after thy law. You know, King David knew a lot about the about being in the pits, amen. Look, for example, in Psalm 35 with me. Psalm number 35 with me, if you would. And when you get to Psalm 35, we want to look together at verse number 7. Psalm 35, verse 7. For without cause have they hid for me their net in a pit, which without cause they have digged for my soul. And then also look in Psalm 57, verse 6. We read, they have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me into the midst, whereof they are fallen themselves, Selah. We see that Joseph, amen, one of the 12 sons of Jacob, found himself in a pit. Amen. His brothers had put him, thrown him into that pit. Amen. And then Jeremiah was also in a pit. Amen. Jeremiah was also in a pit at one time. Look at in Jeremiah with me. In chapter number 41. In Jeremiah 41, we want to look at verse number 9 together. Jeremiah 41, verse 9. Now the pit wherein Ishmael had cast all the dead bodies of the men whom he had slain because of Gedaliah was it which Asa, the king, had made for fear of Bashan, king of Israel. Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, filled it with them that were slain. And we see that here is the pit that Jeremiah was thrown into. Amen? Now, we also see that the psalmist talks about persecution here. Amen? As we look at the second point, he was in a trying situation. His enemies had dug a pit. Amen? We read about that, that they had dug a pit for him. Also, we see in verse 86, all thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully, help thou me. It's one thing to suffer for our own stupid mistakes, amen? However, the psalmist is being persecuted wrongfully. Look also in verse 69 of Psalm 119. It says, the proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole body. Again, they had forged a lie against me. He was wrongfully being persecuted. He was being persecuted based up on trumped up charges. Look at in verse 78. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause. But I will meditate in thy precepts. Again, verse 78 shows that the psalmist was being persecuted wrongfully. Like the Lord Jesus Christ, amen? Look in John chapter 15 with me, the Gospel of John in chapter 15. In John chapter 15, verse number 20, Jesus said, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Amen. So don't be surprised if you're persecuted, amen, wrongfully, amen. He says in verse 87 of Psalm 119 that they had almost consumed me. Almost only counts in horseshoes, amen. And why didn't they altogether consume him? Because surely the wrath of man shall praise thee. The remainder of wrath shall restrain thee. Psalm 76:10. You see, it's impossible to consume a child of God until God is ready for him to come home. Now, our third point here, we've looked at two so far. We see in our study on Psalm 119 entitled Hung Out to Dry, we see the psalmist had a troubled soul, as exhibited by his soul fainting, his sight failing, and he was like a smoky glass. And then we saw that he was in a trying situation. His enemies had dug a pit, amen. They were persecuting him wrongfully, and then they almost consumed him. But praise the Lord, it's impossible for a child of God to be consumed unless God is ready for him to come home. Now, point number three, we want to see that he was a trusting saint in verse 88. We read, quicken me after thy loving kindness, so shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. He says, I hope in thy word, yet do I not forget thy statutes? I forsook not thy precepts, so shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. In other words, he used the shield of faith. Even though he was being persecuted, amen, wrongfully, he still hoped in the word of God. He had not forget the God's word, his God's statutes. He didn't forsake. He said, I forsook not thy precepts, so shall I keep the testimony of the mouth, of thy mouth. He used the shield of faith. You see, the psalmist, he had no intentions of quitting. He turned to the word of God. He said, my soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. I hope in thy word. Even though he was weary, amen, waiting for the promised Messiah, amen, praise the Lord. But what kept him going? His hope in the word of God. That's what should keep us going. That's what should keep you and I from quitting, from throwing in the towel, is hoping in the word of God, trusting in the word of God. Even though the psalmist, he was faint, yet he still pursued God's word. And that's what kept him from quitting, from giving up, from fainting. Amen. By throwing in the towel. When? We ask the question. He was faint, yet still pursued God's word. When? Look at him, verse 82. He says, mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? Verse 84, How many are the days of thy servant? When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? He is not questioning whether God will come through. But he is wondering when God will come through. Again, verse 82. Amen. That's what he said. When are you going to come through? He's not questioning whether God will come through or not. He's just wondering when he will come through. Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? See? Verse 84. How many are the days of thy servant? When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? So he's not questioning again whether God will come through. He's wondering when. When is the timing when God will come through? Let's compare that for what's written in Job chapter 6. Job chapter 6 with me. In Job chapter 6, in verse number 10, he said, let all mine enemies be ashamed and sore vexed. Let them return and be ashamed suddenly. Amen. Talking about, in verse 9, we read, the Lord hath heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Let all my enemies be ashamed and sore vexed. Let them return and be ashamed suddenly. Job knows, and he's talking about that he's prayed to God. He's lifted up. God's heard his supplication. God, the Lord, has received his prayer. And it was just a matter of time when God would come through, when he would deal with his enemies. Amen. We see that, again, we're on to point number 3 on our study today, hung out to dry in Psalm 119. We see the third point we're looking at is the psalmist, he was a trusting saint. And what he tells us, three things. First, here, by his trust in God, he's telling us, commit your situation to God. Whatever you're going through, amen, commit it to God. Look at in verse 84, Psalm 119 again. Verse 84 with me. How many are the days of thy servant? When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? Amen. He's telling you what to do with your enemies. Commit your situation. He committed his situation to God. That's what he's telling us. He said they had accused him falsely. He felt like God had hung him out to dry. His enemies had dug a pit for him. They persecuted him wrongfully. Amen. And he's asking God, you know, when wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? He turned it over to God. Look at in 86. All thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me. What he had done is he cried out to God. He says, they're persecuting me wrongfully. They've dug the pit. I'm turning them over to you, Lord. I know you're going to work. All I want to know is when you're going to work. When are you going to come through? So we need to remember that, to turn our enemies over to God. Remember what Paul wrote to the Romans in chapter 12? Romans chapter 12 with me. In verse number 19. He says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. So just, we see, nothing's changed. Amen. The principle has not changed. In the Old Testament, psalmist trust in the Lord, turn his enemies over to God, and we're to do the same. Rather give place unto vengeance. Under wrath, excuse me here, in Romans chapter 12, verse 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. Don't take it out on them. Let God. God's going to do a much better job than you and I could ever do. Amen. Again, we're looking at point number 3 of our study, that the psalmist, he was a trusting saint. Commit your situation to God. He says, turn your enemies over to God. Amen. That's what you're to do with your enemies. The second thing is, then ask for help from God. Going back to verse 86 of Psalm 119. It says, all thy commandments are faithful. See, the psalmist is testifying that all the commandments, the word of God is faithful. What God says, he's going to do. And he says, they persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me. Because he says, the word of God, all thy commandments are faithful, and God's promised to help us in a time of need, he's saying, God, look it. I'm being wrongfully persecuted. You said in your word is faithful, you said you'd take care of me, you'd protect me, and he says, now I'm asking for your help. I'm holding you to your promise. God wants you and I to do the same thing. Commit your situation to God, turn your enemies over to God, or whatever the situation may be, and ask him for your help, for his help. Because he's promised to give it to you and I. He's promised, he's told us, instruct us not to take, give place to wrath. Amen. Don't take vengeance on your enemy. He'll do it. He'll repay. He'll take care of it. And then we see the third thing. Not only commit your situation to God, turn your enemies over to God, ask for help from God, but number 3, ask for strength from God. Notice what he says in verse 88. Quicken me after thy loving kindness, so shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. Quicken me. That word quicken means made alive. Strengthen me. We could see that the psalmist was under extreme amount of pressure, amen, because of the oppression that he was going through by his enemies, and it was constant. You know, and every human being has their load, has their limit on what we can take. Amen. So he was not only asking, committing his situation to God and asking God for help, but he's also saying, while I'm waiting on you, God, give me strength. Help me to bear up under the oppression. Help me not to get so depressed and so discouraged that I want to quit and throw in the towel. You know, the same principle applies to you and I today. Amen. We can only take so much as human beings. Our flesh is weak. Amen. It's frail. We have a limit to what we can take. So it's so important to cry out to God. Because we can't handle this. We can't handle situations. Amen. They become so overbearing. We come stressed out, depressed, discouraged, and say, what's the use? But if we do as the psalmist instructed us, he was a trusting saint, and we should be trusting saints, amen, is commit that situation. Number 1, if you're being wrongfully persecuted, turn your enemies over to God. Then ask God for help. Then finally ask for strength from God to get you through. Well, my friends, that's all the time we have for the pastor study today.